I want to talk to you tonight for a few minutes about a person who was in such a bad situation. He realized too late in life that if he had his life to do over, a lot of things he'd change. You got a lot of time to do some thinking when you're in the situation this person was in. I'm talking about Absalom. In 2 Samuel, if you have your Bible, 2 Samuel chapter 18, I want to read about four scattered verses. And by the help and grace of God, I want to strong, but grace and law do mix. And I'll prove it to you by the time I finish with the message. Now, I'm not going to put anybody back under the law, because I'm not going to put myself back under the law. But I want you to understand what I'm saying by the time we get there. Notice verse 9. And Absalom met the servants of David, and Absalom rode upon a mule. First off, it doesn't pay to ride a mule. And the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak. Now, what you have to understand there is where he went under that oak tree, the boughs are the limbs. There was a fork. And the providence of God directed that mule to the right spot, and he went right into the fork and was lodged or caught in the bough of that particular oak tree. Now the mule goes on, and he is hanging there, not knowing how much longer he has in this life. That's a pretty bad situation to be in. In 1 year, I was in three different situations in that year's time that they gave me up to die. And if it hadn't been for the grace of God, I would have passed on. But I was in some bad situations. And I'm sure that a lot of you are sitting here tonight that have been in some situations that was near the door of death. And it'll make you do some thinking. Amen? Now, I'm not worried about tomorrow because I know who holds tomorrow. But I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I may start in my truck on my way to Greenville, South Carolina, Friday, and never make it to that 50-year observation celebration. You may not ever see me again until we meet again on the other side. Absalom is hanging in a tree. And I want you to drop down next to verse 10. And a certain man saw it and told Joab and said, "Behold, I saw Absalom hanged in an oak." I mean, Joab, he just hanging there. Can you imagine it? What would you do if you pulled up in the driveway of some person you know and acquainted with, and you look and they hanging in the bough of an oak tree and dangling their feet? Would you just say, "What you doing?" You get excited too, would you not? And so we drop down to verse 14. "Then said Joab, I may not tarry thus with thee." And he took three darts. Not two darts, not four darts, not one dart, but three darts. One dart for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Ghost. He intended to kill him. Are you listening? Can you imagine the expression on the face of Absalom when Absalom sees his enemy there in front of him? And no doubt he saw the three darts in his hand. Be like somebody breaking in your house one night and turn the light on in your bedroom. You're laying there in bed and you get the sleep out of your eyes and they pointing that pistol right at your head. That's happening all over America, folks. We're living in perilous times, dangerous times. It's not going to get any better. I have a dear preacher friend got run off from his church. And he got run off from his church by two men that he trusted. One of them was the son of the former pastor who had died. And the pastor's wife and the son went to him and asked him, would he bring his church and put the two churches together? They had about 20, another had about 25. And he said, well, yeah, we'll visit with y'all and pray about it. And he did that about a year ago, and God was blessing, running about 90 in church. Had this RU restoration ministry started on Tuesday night, running 40-something in that. Great youth ministry, God blessing all around. And the devil popped up, and they got jealous. And the son went to him and said, we don't need you anymore. He said, I'm pastor. He said, no, I own the church, and I own the land. And the pastor said, Brother Marty, I remember years ago you preached a meeting for me back in 88, 89, somewhere back there. And he said, I remembered you saying this, that before the church, the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ is called out of this earth, we may end up meeting in homes. There's enough going on in America right now that if they can have their way, and Brother Leonard knows what I'm telling you is the truth, they'll take away, number one, your tax benefit. And they'll start telling the preacher what he can preach and what he can't preach, what he can do and what he can't do, what the church can do, what it can't do. And the people that hadn't got enough to stir the fuzz on a gander snout will hit the door and be gone. And the saints of God, before the church leaves out, will experience a sad situation. God only had one son without sin, but he never had a son without suffering. That's ordained of God. So when you drop down to verse 18, we're going to get to my text. Now Absalom in his lifetime... Here's a fellow that made some plans, but he didn't make his final plans. Had taken and reared up for himself. Are y'all listening? He reared up for himself a pillar, which is in the King's Dale. He reared up for himself his own homemade testimony. See, if you do not have a biblical testimony, your homemade testimony will not carry you through the bench. Now, here's a feller that in his lifetime, he gets this all imagined in his mind. Now he's hanging there in the bough of an oak tree and seeing three darts in his enemy's hand. No, he's fixing to die. And I can imagine he said these words, Cole, if I had my life to live over, now you know young people don't think like that. There's probably some young adults sitting here. You're not thinking about death. You're not thinking about life. I'm 84 years old, and the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart after Frank had called me around 4:45, something like that, and I'm getting home, start to get ready and all. And this thought come to my mind, if I had my life to live over again. What would I do? Denise, have you ever thought about that? You better believe it. Tip has. We talked a little bit about it. He had no other idea I was going to be dealing with this subject. Now watch. Stay with me. For he said. Now listen. We do not know when he said this, but I believe he said this before. You could take verse 18 and put this ahead of verse 14 before. We know he didn't say it after he's dead. Hello? For he said, I have no son. And yet we know in the 14th chapter of this same book, it tells us he had three sons and a daughter. He lost his children. If I had my life to live over, I'd certainly want to make sure, Lord, I could save my children. I'm not talking about salvation saving, but bring them up in church, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of our Lord. Hello? Yes. You listen to what he's saying? I have no son to keep my name in remembrance. The world's going to forget about me. He had no idea. Many sermons would be preached about him and the way he treated his pastor. King David was, in essence, his pastor. Are you listening to me? Holy Ghost said, I'm going to give you something, Marty, to help every one of y'all tonight that's listening. I've never preached this like this before. God gave it to me in about 15 minutes. I have no son to keep my name in remembrance, and he called the pillar after his own name. I'm glad, thank God, I've got some things that I've left for my son, Jeffrey. I've got some things that I've left for my grandson, Jacob. When I'm dead and gone, my name will live on in the right way, not in the wrong way. Everybody that knows anything about Absalom that's ever studied his life, he never left a testimony. That's sad, Ricky. And it is called unto this day Absalom and his children's place. Absalom's place. Every parent in this church tonight knows that the Bible is clear. We're taught to lay up a good foundation for our children against the time to come. What parent does not want to leave what they've got to their children? Y'all heard about that rich feller and his children couldn't get along. All he done was fuss and fight, and he watched it and lived. And boy, it come down to the day he died, and they couldn't wait to get to the lawyer's office and listen to the will read, and the lawyer said, all right, y'all ready to hear what your daddy's got to say? Yep. Okay, I'm fixing to read it. I, Sam Jones, being of sound mind, want all you youngins to know that I spend every dime of it by. Now, let me point out some things. I want you to turn your Bible. There's a couple of places I'm going to lead you to, but I want you to turn your Bible to Exodus chapter 20. And we're going to look at a little law. Exodus chapter 20. And if you're like me looking in Numbers, you'll never find it. And we're going to go to one verse at the end of this in the book of Romans, and we'll tie it together. If I had my life to live over, number one, I would honor mother and father. I know preachers' kids, they're paying for it right now for dishonoring mother and daddy. I've been at this too many years. I've watched them. I know. I know some young folk and some older folk that was raised up in a preacher's home and honored their mother and their father. And they're doing good for God right now. And some I know wouldn't know God to a 40-acre field with a name tag on. Their life proves it. The evidence is there. Amen. I can look around right here at certain ones, and you're here tonight in one sense because you honored your mother and your dad. Amen. And if you didn't, God said, if you want to have long days upon this earth, I'm going to tell you something you need. You'd better learn how to do it. Honor your father and your mother. What are you talking about, Brother Marty? Look at Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. You ever wondered why some teenagers die a tragic death? Dishonor. Now, there are teenagers that have died sort of what you might call a peaceful death. Died in their sleep. Like that. But I've heard of teenagers, girls that have been multiple raped and slaughtered. Boys that's gone through this, gone through that. If you could check your history out, you'd realize they dishonored their mother and their daddy. If my mother and daddy, Charles, was alive right now, I'd say yes, sir, and no, sir. Amen. I was taught that. I was taught you never interrupted a grown person at my house. Amen. You'd be sucking soup through a straw that night. My daddy'd backhand you. Oh, hey, your daddy abused you every day. If I had my life to live over, I sure would honor mother and father. You don't have to think too long if you're sitting there thinking, yeah. You know, if I could go back, there's a few things I would do. Yeah. Everything that my daddy told me to do before he went to work on the night shift, the next day, because he'd be sleeping, I knew I better have it done before he woke up that afternoon about 3:30. Mom always cooked supper. See, we had breakfast, dinner, and supper. I never knew what lunch was. I found out later there's a brunch. I heard Billy Kelly pray down at a preacher's fellowship. He said, Lord, bless this bunch as we munch our lunch. If we'd been eating early, he'd have prayed it for the brunch. I like them old days. I like them old ways. We're living now in a generation, friend, that knows not God. And they have no interest in knowing God. They're religious, but they don't care for God. You see, Exodus 20 and 12 is still alive today. It's alive in your New Testament. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm not going to show you. I'm not going to help you find it. I'm going to tell you it's there, and if you want to find out, look it up. We've got Baptists that have become so lazy, they want to read it off the screen. Some of you probably hadn't opened the Bible in 20 years. Or however long they've had these screens up here. Some of you never bring a Bible to church. I don't even know if some of you even have a Bible, own a Bible. Did you know the average Baptist don't even know what kind of Bible to buy? We got books that they call Bibles that are a million miles away from the Word of God. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. You got to know what the word is to hide it. Amen. Y'all not helping me. If I had my life to live over, I'd honor mother and father. All right, fasten your seat belts. If I had my life to live over, I'd honor God's word. Where is that at, Brother Marty? Look at verse 13. Thou shalt not kill. That's not talking about wartime. That's not talking about somebody breaking in your house at night and going to ravage you or your wife or your children. No, no, no. Somebody's told me, they said, Brother Marty, if somebody's breaking in your house, make sure they're in the room, or most all of them's in the room, before you shoot them. I said, I'll tell you something better than that. Somebody tried to break in my house, I'll shoot him and drag that sucker in the house. Hello! Wouldn't give you a dime for a man who wouldn't protect his family. Y'all not with me. I'm getting vibes back the wrong way. Hey, God teaches us a way that we are to act. But there's more killings going on. Chicago, Illinois is under the control of a pervert mayor, and they have collected all the guns from the innocents, but not from the guilty. There's more murders that's gone on in the city of Chicago in the last 6 months than just about the whole United States put together. Is that not amazing? Oh, we're going to take our guns. Hey, they'll have you believing that you need to give your gun up. I'm trying to buy up more shells. I'm getting ready for the revolution. You say, what are you talking about, Brother Marty? You've been taking too many pills. I take plenty of them. It's that sorry, low-down bunch that hates God that's going to start the revolution in America. Marty Yeager, they're going to come up, knock on your door, and tell you to hand over all your guns and everything. And you've done heard too much about these socialistic countries and what they do. I know you men in here, you know what I'm talking about is the truth. I got 4 or 5 hid out there in the backyard. Oh, y'all, not, I can't get nothing out of y'all, couldn't you? See, there's a time for everything under the sun. Are you listening? There's a time for everything. There's a time to live. There's a time to die. Now, providence brings about death. And that which is dying or murdered in providence will stand before God and give an account for it. But I would never shoot somebody just to be shooting them. I don't think anybody in here would. At least if there is one in here, please let me know and I'll stay out of your way. Amen. Nothing to do with you. Hey, thou shalt not commit adultery. That's Old Testament, Brother Mark. That's Bible. There's more sin going on in the average Baptist church than the Baptist churches in America want to handle. And most of them are dead as a doornail because they won't deal with sin. Thou shalt not commit adultery. The preacher got run off from a church when his wife went to the deacons and said, I can't take this no longer. He's been sleeping with women now for the last 20 years. Get it in the pulpit on Sunday morning and preach. Wonder where the power was. You know, there's such a thing as being able to discern both good and evil. When we lose our discernment, we're not going to be much of help to anybody. Well, now let me see. That rattlesnake, Leonard's got to be about 6 foot long. So really, you shouldn't kill him. Let him live for another year or two. Let him get 8 foot. That way he'll have a chance to maybe bite Boots or somebody up on the hill, you know. He's got more rattlesnakes in his backyard than he's got Baptists. And of course, there's more Baptist rattlesnakes than we can think of. You think I'm going to contemplate and not have enough sense to know that this pretty serpent, there's mothers and daddies that'll buy a boa constrictor about that long and let their little girl put it around its neck and let it sleep in the bed with it and just hug and kiss on it. And when it gets about 18 foot, it eats and swallows the girl. Florida cannot handle the snakes. We got a lot of snakes in Alabama. Not just up at Leonard's place, but in Baptist churches. Hello? I got to hurry. My time will be up before I know it. Thou shalt not steal. Person doesn't tithe and robs God, I wouldn't trust you in my watermelon patch. A man that'll steal from God will steal from anybody. Amen. I know some Baptists are cheap. They wouldn't give a dime to watch a gnat eat a bale of hay. Cheap. I just can't afford to tithe. I can't afford not to. As a matter of fact, I went past tithing a long time ago. I'm a giver. You're not a giver till you get past 10%. See, God's going to take the 10%. You heard about the old boy that didn't believe in tithing? Somebody said, I hear so-and-so's in the hospital. Billy Kelly said, yes, he's in the hospital. He's in bad shape. Well, what's wrong with him? They're taking out his tithes. You'll get that in a minute. God will get them one way or another. Hello? Oh, no. This is, hey, I'm going to tell you something. Our offerings ought to be, I don't know. I don't even hardly look at that sheet. Matter of fact, all them graphs and things like that on there, buddy, when you get past two and two, what, four? When you get past all that stuff and get in all that other, I don't pay it no attention, but I trust Leonard. But I'm going to tell you something. We ought to be getting, you know what we're running here? There ought to be $12,000 a week coming in this church on average. Somebody in here is crooked and low down and sorry. And if you won't tithe, you'll commit adultery. And if you won't tithe, you'll commit adultery. You'll kill somebody. You let it get down to the point. Yeah. Oh, no, I know I'd lose you. Well, let's go on and see if I can lose you more. Verse 16, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. You ever been lied about? One thing I've learned in almost 50 years of preaching, I care less what people think or say about me. I'm going to walk with God. You cannot make everybody like you. You cannot please man and please God. If you try to be at friendship with this world, you will be an enemy of God. That word intimate is enemy. Hey, I want to be God's friend. Abraham was a friend of God. Is that not amazing? And then number 10, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Now I want to ask some of the older people here a question, like Slim and Bill and Judy and myself and all, Glenn and some of you others. I can't think of your name right off the bat. 50 years ago, how many for sale signs did you see in people's front yards? They might have had a sign up, hog for sale or wife for sale, something like that. But you did not see for sale signs in yards. Are y'all listening to me? 50 years ago, right, Slim? Did you live where you live now 50 years ago? I knew I shouldn't ask him. Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Bill, you and Judy remember it. Of course, they can go back 100 years. It wasn't that. Why, folks? Listen. People seemed to understand that they were placed where they were placed by God Almighty. They were satisfied. They weren't greedy. They wasn't wanting this, that, and the other, and everything else. Today, people's got... You can't go on any street. I've been on a few streets. Bless God, I'd sell my house if I lived on that street. You can't go on a street hardly not see a house that's up for sale. Why? I read it to you. Trace it out. Somewhere back in there, there's some covetousness. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 credit cards. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 vehicles in the yard. one, two, three boats and riding along. When I was a little boy, I never had to crank nothing up but me. We had a push lawnmower. Daddy said, cut the yard. I'd take a sling blade first and get it down to where I could push it. And that was it. My daddy never had an automobile to drive back and forth to work. Rain, sleet, shine, or snow, it didn't matter. He walked until I was in service. And overseas, my daddy bought his first car. 49 Cadillac. I come home on leave, got drunk, and broke it. I wrecked it. It's broke. Let me hurry on. I had to put a little humor in there. Some of y'all dying on me. If I had my life to live over, if I was hanging there in that tree, they say that there is a time in your life when it seems like it just stops. I remember when they rushed me to the emergency room over at Silicon Valley. You came to see me that day, Slim. They said my blood pressure was 52 over 48. My doctor said, I never expected to ever see you again. And I couldn't center in on nothing, you know. But at the same time, it was just like everything was still. And I was talking to the nurse and this and that. And I don't know how much time went by. And I woke up and I was in ICU and stayed there about 7 days. Those blood clots had to be dissolved in my body. This fella's hanging in a tree. If I had my life to live over, you know, I didn't treat Daddy this right. Boy, I wish I could see my daddy again like that. I wish I could. Boy, I can look at Teresa and Lori over there. I'm going to tell you what, they're tickled to death that their daddy's saved. Ronnie hadn't been saved that long. But I still believe he's a good man. But boy, when he got saved, you talking about a man changing. Huh? People knew it. You hang around somebody a little while, you'll find out if they're saved or lost or religious. I can look at some of y'all's countenance in here. You say, if I knew he was going to be here tonight, I thought Brother Frank was going to be here. I didn't come back, boys, but let me know. Let's look at this last one. I'll be done. If I had my life to live over, I would honor the Lord God. Now that is a mouthful to say, but it is a possibility. Are you listening to me? It has to be a possibility because it is a probability. What do you mean, Brother Marty? Exodus chapter 20. And this, notice verses 1 through 8 real quickly. I'm going to drop to verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Nothing. You know what that means on a scale of 1 to 100? 51% of the time, he better be number one. That's as close as you can get to not being average. 50-50 is nothing. I think it's a little more than 51-49, though, don't you? I think it's a little more than 75-25. I think it's 99-1. I'm the one. He's the 99. You may think I'm bragging, but when May and I got right with God, we got down on our knees and we said, Lord, here we are. We're willing to go where you want us to go. We're willing to do what you want us to do. You just show us and we'll go. We never had a promise of a dime in 1971 when we left Greenville, South Carolina, January 29th, 1971. And by faith, she and I went with everything we had to South Louisiana and started a church down there. And we watched God supply our need. When we sang the song the first time, Living by Faith, Holy Ghost said, you understand what that is, don't you? I said, yes, sir. We had been doing it then, right up until the day she died. And I've been doing it 8 years since she's going to be with the Lord. I wouldn't have it any other way. I don't have a promise of anything. I certainly don't have a promise of Social Security next year. So what's he saying? We love God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our being. Jesus went into great depths of that. And I see, this is just taking too much time. So let me hurry on. Verse 4, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Woo. Or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. And I'll tell you how jealous I am. I visit this kind of iniquity upon the children under the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. A person that will not honor this passage right here hates God. See, I'm not your pastor, so I can't tell you what we'd do if I was pastor. Because you probably wouldn't stay here long enough for us to do it. Might as well say that and get on. Verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. I know members of Grace Baptist Church, I've heard them do it. Hello? Brother Marv, what you trying to say? There's a cussing. Now I want to ask you, how many men we got in here? Raise your hand right now, real quick. All the men, raise your hand. Shouldn't take long. There's some women in here stronger than some men I've met down through the years. Now listen to me. You're going to tell me if somebody cussed your wife, you'd take it standing still? Somebody come up and done something irregular towards your wife, you'd stand there and say, well, God bless you. She's a good woman. I'm praying for you. I don't know you, and I certainly wouldn't want to offend you. If I didn't figure I could whoop that sucker, I'd get me a 2x4 with a nail in it. Come on, y'all with me? Man wouldn't stand up for his wife, would never stand up for God. Man wouldn't stand up for what's right in the home, would never stand up for God. That's what's wrong with our churches today. We got away from divine principles. I wish I was about 39 right now. Boy, I'd just get out there. Even though y'all got to leave, I'd be preaching. I'd stand right out there in the parking lot preaching as you go by. And I was saying, well, I wish we had more time, but I'm supposed to be done at 7:30, correct? Nobody said anything. I appreciate it. Number 4. Here's what's wrong with Grace Baptist Church. You wonder sometimes, why isn't God moving in our church like days that I remember? I remember, boy, when we had a real stir in here. Well, what's wrong? Here's one reason. There's more, but here's one. Here's one main reason. We've been carrying people on the rolls of this church for years that don't darken the door of the house of God. We got some that come in here on Sunday morning and think they're doing God a service, just coming, sitting here and playing church. You couldn't get them back on prayer meeting. You couldn't get them back on Sunday night. They have no interest in God. They think their good works is going to get them to heaven. Now listen to me. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. There's more ungodliness going on the Sabbath day, our Sunday, than there is a lot of Saturdays, Fridays, Thursdays, Wednesdays, Tuesdays, and Mondays. They've stole our children on Sundays for pleasures. And we've allowed it to happen. And we're going to reap a whirlwind from it, folks. God will never, ever overlook sin of any sort. We better learn that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Now, I told you I'd close with a verse in Romans, and I'm closing. And I'm sorry if I've held you too long, but I'm trying to obey the Holy Ghost. Verse 27, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. What is that saying, Brother Marty? Anybody that'll discard and throw away the Ten Commandments, as they've done, Roy Moore will always be my friend. I don't care what anybody says. That sorry low-down bunch of devils here in Alabama tried their best to ruin the man, and as soon as they got that bird in there that they got in there, you don't hear anything else about it, do you? They bring up them witch hunts. They did it to Herman Cain in Georgia. They tried to do it to Trump and couldn't find nothing to do it. Now they're trying to dig up everything they can. Yeah, are y'all not with me? What's happened to truth? Do we appreciate truth anymore? Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I'm under the law of faith. What is the law of faith, Brother Marty? Every doctrinal teaching in this Bible, I'm under that law. Thank you.